Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah, saints. Shalom. So it is a blessing to be here worshiping with you this morning, not just those who are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online in iChurch. It is a blessing to have you with us. We've been talking about the last 3 weeks about the beauty of knowing. And we know that knowledge and knowing and being known is important in the kingdom of Yahweh. And you all know that we're truth ministry. We're about the truth. And so one of the Hebrew customs that really stuck with me is the custom where the young men, when they were getting ready to learn, they're being taught by the rabbis. And they would get them right before the break of day, gather them together, and they'd have the tablet. And on the tablet was, of course, the Torah and Hebrew letters. And so they would coat the tablet with honey. And the honey created a layer that they could actually trace the letters that were up underneath. They traced the letters with a stylus. And this is right before daybreak, right? So you have the rabbi talking about what Yahweh did for the children of Israel, and then you have the word there, and then you have the stylus, and you have the honey that coats the stylus, coats the tablet. And so they would trace it. Well, you know, if you're tracing, it builds up on the stylus. So to clear the stylus, you'd have to taste it. You have to lick the honey off of the stylus so that you could go on to the next one. What they were trying to show and trying to teach, and they're very successful at this, is that the word is sweet. The word is good. And right when they reach that point of tracing and tasting, somebody's getting hungry. Then the light would come from the sunrise. So not only were they saying the word is sweet and it's good, but it also brings light. Is that a blessing? And what it did was it showed them the importance of being in the word. It showed them how important the word was and how essential it is in the life of a believer. And that stuck with me because, you know, us as saints, we got this as believers and we got all these things going on. How do you maintain your love of the word? How do you maintain the fact that you want to experience the sweetness when there's so much sourness going on? I know how y'all feel. I mean, as young people, you got temptations, you got all kinds of peer pressures and things like that. I used to be young once. I feel like I'm in the middle, though. I feel like I can relate to being young and those, but then I can also relate to the pressures and things that come from being an older person or a more mature person. You got to run a household. You got to pay bills. You got to take care of people. You got to take care of kids. And it's a lot. Y'all feeling me? You know how you feel that? And you're supposed to do all that and still maintain that love for the word, right? It's difficult, you know? And so I can relate, you know, I can relate to the young people. We're the older people, we used to say that, oh, that's bad, right? Didn't y'all say that? You got some old food, that's bad. Yo, you bad, but bad was good, right? And then I can relate to young people where they say, it's on fleek. Did I say that right? Right? That's on fleek. Yo, people don't know what that is, right? Who? Raise your hand if you know what on fleek is. Okay, see, that's the divide. And we're bringing together the old and the new. And that's the beauty of Hebrew, is that we're bringing together the old and the new, from the roots to the shoots. And so what I found important is that you have to find a way to embrace the love of the word. How do you do that? Because this is, I mean, I was challenged in every aspect. Because when it comes to the word, and you guys being present, I mean, I see you guys here. But a lot of times when the word was going forth, when my dad used to pastor and I was a kid, teenager, whatever, young adult, I had, you guys heard of X-Men? Okay, I was an X-Saint. Meaning, X-Men has powers, right? Wow, X-Saints have powers too. Special powers. When the word was going forth, I would find a way to disappear. Poof! I was in the bathroom. The word's coming up, poof! I'm in the side room. Poof! I'm on the what? Parking lot. See, I know some of y'all can relate. Because it's an evasion of the word, right? Poof, I'm in the kitchen. What are the places where y'all hiding? Nursery. Poof, I'm in the nursery. Poof, I'm in the choir room. In the media room where, you know, you just do the CDs. People's disappearing up in there. Why? Because people are escaping the word when the word is going forth. So evidently you must have lost your love for the word, lost your love for the knowledge. And I've been there, right? But how do you get it? And a lot of us asking that question. How do I maintain that? How do I stay excited? Well, I have two answers for you. The first answer is that, and God forbid, you go through something so terrible, so traumatic, that the only thing that's powerful enough to lift you up out of that is the power of Yahweh and His word. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you done took you down, right? And so then you come running. Now, we don't want to have to wait till something happened. And I've been in situations where there was no human that could say anything to me. There was no human being that could do anything for me. The only thing that was powerful and potent enough, and He is the potentate, is Yahweh. He was the only thing that could drag me out of that. And if that brings some love and appreciation back for the word, I don't know what does. The second one is that as I begin to hear, sometimes when you ain't trying to hear, the words still kind of get up in you because it's that powerful, right? So sometimes an apostle would get up there and he'd be like, oh, 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 and he's talking and I'm like, and I'm sleeping. As we all have done. Don't front. I can point out some sleepers right now, but I ain't gonna do that. Don't do it. But see, when you're a sleeper, you locate yourself, right? Because evidently, you have not connecting with the word as you should. Okay. So understanding that, how do I find the excitement? The second way I found out is that as I started letting myself listen, guess what? Tell your neighbor, you got to let yourself listen. Because the enemy don't want you to listen. But you got to let yourself. You got to force yourself. And sometimes them eyes will be, and I'll be like, right? It's a fight. But then I'd hear something. And I began to understand that sometimes you have to find yourself in the word. Hey, that's me. Hey, wait. That's what I'm going through right now. That's how I'm feeling right now, right? Because you got to be able to, if you find yourself in the word, you find out who you are. You are in the word, and the word should be in you. Do I have anybody that's seeking and striving to be in a word? Right? It's relatable because there's so many things in the word that you can relate to. So many people that have gone through situations in the word that you can say, wait a minute. That's my story. Wait a minute. That's my answer. Wait a minute. That's my deliverance. Wait a minute. That's my healing. Wait a minute. So we find that. So you got to find yourself in the word, but you will not be able to find yourself in the word if you don't read the word. You will not be able to find yourself in the word if you don't hear the word. And in this day and age, people are itching to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear that no matter what you do, you save always. You're going to heaven no matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live your life. Go ahead on and do it. It doesn't matter what you do. You can turn up in the club and everything's fine. I sent my wife to a women's retreat so that, you know, it's a spirit-filled women's church, and they had a retreat. And you can glean some information from that. So she went, and the worship team and the speakers were trying to get these spirit-filled people to worship. And the spirit-filled people was just, you know, the worship's going forth, and they just, and they sitting down, and you got maybe two people in the room that, hold on for a second. Debbie, stand up. Mom, need to stand up. And this is what it looked like when worship was going on. So these were only two, like, worshipers in the house. Y'all can sit down. So then they had later on, they had a portion. It's a shame that we got to beg folks to worship. You should just worship because of who he is. You should just worship because he deserves whatever you can offer. He's worthy, right? But they had this portion where they were trying to get, it was a fashion show. And they were trying to get all the participation of the ladies. So young people, help me out, because I ain't heard this. I consider myself somewhat connected, but I ain't heard this. Go get that nana or shake that. Throw it over here, throw it over there. You know it. What's that? Nah. What's that? Nay, nay. No. Okay, you know what it was, Minister? And they said, nay, nay. Yeah, nay. What'd I say? Over here. Let it whip. Guess what? They all stood up. And they were all, And then after that, they did. Wobble, baby. You couldn't even get them to get up to worship. But you got them up there nay-naying and wobbling. Can you imagine?
You know, that's a spirit-filled folk. Well, you're going to know them by their fruit. But they were supposed to be. But it just shows you the state, not of just the world, but the state of the church today. I thank Yahweh for truth. I thank him for the Holy Spirit moving inside of me, inside of you. But you got to let it. You got to let that praise come up. But just as they were supposed to let that praise come up, they let that wobble in the neck. And it was instant. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes you got to warm up, you know, a couple people. And because anyway, in worship, sometimes this side, you know, kind of get up and they kind of get excited. Well, I'm talking about worship now, you know, and then it kind of trickles, you know, around the room. And then finally people get more involved corporately. But it was this situation where when the music came on, how does it start, y'all? How does that name start? Because y'all know. You know how it is. You know when that song come on, it's like, boom, yeah, that's my song. It didn't even start yet. But that's what happened. It was instant. Oh, but if we could just be instant in the Holy Ghost, if we could just be instant. Wait a minute. If we could just be instant in the Holy Ghost, instant in praise. I mean, we could do that. I'm just saying. Right? Yes. But see, that is why the enemy has done some stuff. And the church has allowed him to do that stuff. I don't care what you say. Yahweh is holy, and he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy, and he's righteous, and he's loving. And it's only because of his mercifulness and mercy and grace that we are just able to even be here right now. Right? And so understanding that, we got to give ourselves over to the word. You got to find your love for the word. And if it's nothing more than just knowing what he did for you. So when we go here talking about knowledge and knowing, let's go to Hosea, or the Hebrew name for Hosea is Hoshea. Okay? And then we're going to go to the fourth chapter. Why do you use some Hebrew names? Because they're the original names. Your mama named you what your mama named you, right? If I call you anything different, you feel like you're being disrespected. Don't call me out of my name. Well, Yeshua was given the name Yeshua from the beginning. It wasn't Jesus. The name Jesus didn't come to 1611. So what were they calling him before 1611? Yeshua. And the name means that he will save, he will deliver. That's his original name. Anybody seen, I was talking to Walter the other day. Coming to America. Who remember Coming to America? Who remember the barbershop scene? He was in the barbershop, and he was like cutting on his hair, and he said, they was talking about Cassius. They was talking about Muhammad Ali. And so he's, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali. And they were going on, and he said, well, I guess the other barber was calling him Cassius Clay. Right? His name is Clay. And he was like, well, his name Muhammad Ali. He was like, his mama called him Clay. I'm going to call him Clay. Well, that's how we should be. Yahweh told Mary and Joseph to call him Yeshua. His name shall be Yeshua because he will save. And his name means what he came to do. So I don't understand why we would do anything differently than what his name is, right? Does that just make sense? Just common sense? So when you understand that, that's why we really acknowledge these names, because they mean something. And so we go to Hosea, 4th chapter, 6th verse. And it says what? My people are destroyed. Who? What people is he talking about? He's talking about the people that went to the women's conference. Because they're his people. Those are his daughters. We're his sons and daughters, right? And so he says, my people, those that are called by my name, are destroyed. Why are they destroyed? For a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast what? Rejected knowledge. Let me stop for a minute. When I would poof and disappear when the word was going forth, what was I doing? I was rejecting knowledge. I mean, back then, we didn't have cell phones proliferated like we do. But see, some of y'all can sit up in here and reject knowledge because you in there, Texas is in. And then you want to say, my Bible is on my phone. Okay, come on, you in the sanctuary. Don't lie. Some of y'all, your Bible is. But some of y'all, you got the Facebook Bible. You Instagramming Bible. The knowledge is going forth. But if you on Facebook and if you on Instagram and if you texting your girlfriend over in Carson, well, it just came up. Maybe somebody just did that. You're rejecting the knowledge. Why? Because the knowledge is what? Going forth. What is the knowledge? That's the word. It's what? Going forth. So if you're rejecting and if you're running and if you're evading the word, you're evading the knowledge. You're rejecting it. So what happens? There's consequences. The consequences are, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law or the word of thy Elohim. I will also forget. Ooh. That's deep. But when we find out that our people is destroyed by the lack of knowledge, we look at the Hebrew word for knowledge. Hebrew word for knowledge is da'at. Say da'at. Da'at. That's the knowledge. And it's not the kind of knowledge, and I have to say this over and over again when I say this, it's not the kind of knowledge that you get because you're so smart, you're so cute, that you're so clever. It's the knowledge that you get by putting the word into practice, by doing it, by applying it, by allowing it to saturate your life, that it becomes a lifestyle. That's how you live. That's how you navigate this world is by the word, right? So it's the kind of knowledge that has to be put into practice so that the knowledge can what? Grow and build upon itself, build in your life. Right? Build up in your life. Who needs to be built up? Who wants to be stronger and stronger and stronger? You know, you guys get up in these gyms, 24 Fitness, LA Fitness, Equinox. You got Planet Hollywood. Oh, but Planet Fitness. You got 4 or 5 memberships, right? What you need all that for? You feel like you got to try to what? Build yourself up. Then you start taking some supplements.
Sorry, I mean to mess with y'all.
But why are you doing that? Because you're trying to build yourself up. Same thing in the Word, y'all. You got to build yourself up in the Word. You got to build yourself up in what Yahweh says you are. And he keeps on telling you, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. And you're like, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak. Well, because you're not reading the Word and applying the Word to your life. Because if you were, you'd know that not only are you a conqueror, but you're more than that. You're more than that, right? But it's because my people are destroyed by the lack of da'ath, which means two things. And I've told you this. It means that you're destroyed by not having the knowledge, and you're also destroyed by having the knowledge and not applying it. So you can have knowledge, but if you don't apply it, you're lost. So when we're talking about this, we have to understand how crucial this is to the believer. And so you have to have the knowledge. So Matthew, let's go to Matthew, or the Hebrew name Matityahu. Hallelujah. Because I want the knowledge to build upon itself. Also,
I have to state this. The Hebrew concept of knowledge, of knowing, is also this. Once you've heard the word and you know, you also own it. When you know, you own. I know what's being told to me, it becomes knowledge. Because that knowledge now is in my mind, it's in me, I own it. So when the word says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, you shall own the truth. Because knowing is owning. Say, knowing is owning. That's why when he gives you a nugget of knowledge, the Hebrew concept was that you got it. And they moved up in levels. Once you got some knowledge and you got that foundation, then that prepared you for the next level. And then when you got that, that took you to the next level. Right? And then when you got some more, it what? Took you to the next level. You kept on growing and getting lifted up and kept on getting elevated. Who wants to get elevation? I want elevation. So when you get that knowledge, you got to use it. You got to apply it. One of the beautiful things, even so, about the tradition of the Hebrew when they were learning from the rabbi, I told you guys this before, was that once they got to a certain level, they would follow the rabbi. Wherever the rabbi goes, they would follow him. And the rabbi was always in front. And the followers were right behind him. Well, it was dusty. So every time the rabbi went somewhere, he was kicking up dust. And they was right behind him following it. So who got the dust? They got the dust. But it was a beautiful thing because they would say, let the dust of the rabbi be all over you. Because it was a good thing. As you were following that teaching, as you were following that knowledge, as you were following that wisdom, it was getting all over you. Who wants the knowledge? I want to follow him. I want all that. Say, I want all that. Tell your neighbor, we need all that. We need it. So when we go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, right? It's the 21st verse. And this is what I brought up the other Sunday. Why is it important to know? Why is it important to have his fingerprints on you? Why is it important to have that stamp, his seal on you? That knowledge and all that wisdom and stuff. Knowing. Matthew 7 chapter, 21st verse. You ready? Let's read it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Wow, wait a minute. Who are we talking about? We're talking about believers here. Are you serious right now? Are you saying that there's going to be a whole bunch of believers that are going to say, Lord, Lord, Father, Father? Because aren't we, don't people try to teach and convince you that everybody make it in? But everybody evidently, when we get this knowledge, because be careful now, if you don't want this, walk out. Because you're about to get the knowledge right here. Evidently, that can't be true. Because if everybody's going to get in, why would he make this statement? What is the statement? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Wow. Well, somebody's bubble has burst. Because somebody thought that they could turn up in club on Friday all day and get in there to Nene and grind. Turning up shots. I want to take shots with somebody. You ever heard that one? You can't help but it's not that I turn it on my radio. It's just I'm going to get some clothes or something in the store, and then I'm hearing it. Because that's the words, that's what the world is saying. What does it say? I want to take shots. I want to what? Hook up with somebody?
He said, Bricky said, don't look at me no more. I got you on that day. But somebody's saying, hey, you know, it's okay for me to turn up. It's okay for me to do shots. It's okay to go home with somebody, to fornicate and do whatever I want to do. And he's so merciful and gracious. All I got to say is lie, and he'll let me in. Tell your neighbor that ain't true. It's not just what Pastor Tom said. It's because it's in the Word. You're reading it yourself. I don't want anybody to walk out of here talking about, he said. Uh-uh. The Word said. It's not about what I say. It's what the Word says. So it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, what? Which is what? In heaven. Because it is a requirement, or as I hear it being said, a prerequisite, right? That there has to be a reason why he's going to let you in. And there also has to be a reason why he ain't going to let you in. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the ones that make it in. Because the Word says millions, that the song says millions what? Didn't make it, but I want to be one of the ones that did, right? And so it says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, didn't enter in. Because why? Many will say. How many? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, there's a lot of prophesying going on, but it ain't true. They got a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. So what kind of prophesying is going on when it ain't true? I like to call it prophelying. Because that's what it is. It's not true. It doesn't measure up. And it says, and in thy name have cast out devils? Well, you didn't cast the devil out of yourself. People are going to be faking and shaking and doing stuff that ain't real. How many instances have we seen where somebody is supposed to be prophesying and it's in this great ministry, right? And then they have an earpiece and they're telling the person what's wrong with that person because they've already been interviewed and they're acting like it's the power of God working, but it's a lie. Because it's a show. They're trying to stimulate people with lies instead of actually moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. And have we heard that, saints? Have we heard that? Right? It's witchcraft. It's goopa dust. Voodoo. It's fake. It's not real. And in thy name, done many wonderful works. And he's going to say something. What is he saying? And then will I profess unto them. That's deep. I never knew you. This knew or know is the Greek word. Genosko. Say genosko. Genosko is a getting to know which comes from what? With a relationship, there's an exchange. And he's saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never had a relationship with you. I never had an exchange with you. But before then, he says iniquity. And what does iniquity mean? Simply means this. Iniquity is doing your own thing. Depart from me, you person that were doing your own thing. I never had a relationship with you. You had a relationship with yourself. And you had a form of me going on, but it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. It wasn't official. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through my life having a fake relationship. I want to have a genuine relationship with the one who saved me, with the one who washed my sins away, to the one who loved me, to the one who, no matter what is going on in my life, all I got to do is call his name and he works it out. So we got to get back to the relationship. We got to get back to knowing. We got to get back to genosko. We're so worried about relationships that we got in the flesh, but the only relationship that matters is the relationship that you have with the Father. That's the only relationship that matters. And so that's why so many people are going to be turned away. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going through this life and being turned away? Well, my desire, my hope, and my prayer is that everybody that I am looking at right now and everybody that I am seeing is going to go right on in. Let's go on in together. Tell you that we're going in together. Say, we came together. We going to go together. So let's go here. Let's go to 1 Johannes, 1 John, 1 John. Hallelujah. The second chapter. So, we're talking about a love, a knowing that comes from a relationship. We're talking about a knowing that comes from building on the word and applying the word. We've got to allow ourselves to hear. We got to allow ourselves to overcome the distractions of the enemy. We got to find our love for the word. You have to desire the word. Tell yourself, I got to desire it. Tell yourself, I got to desire. I got to want it. So when we go 1 John, 1 Johannes, and Johannes is the Hebrew name for John. 1 John, the second chapter. You got it? You got to say, I got it. Let's go to the third verse. And hereby, I love the scripture. And hereby, we do know that we know him. Wait, stop just right there. And hereby, we do know that we know. Somebody say, and hereby,
we do know
that we know him. What is in hereby we do know? This is what it means. Here is how we can be sure that we know him. Oh, and hereby we do know him means this is how, say this is how we can be sure that we know him. Wow. That's powerful. And hereby we do know means with this we can be sure that we know him. What is the evidence? If. Somebody say, if. We keep his commandments. Whoa. So not only do we know that we know him, right? And that's the evidence that we're keeping his commandments. But guess what? I know that you know him by what you do. Because if you keep his commandments, I think you know him. It's a good possibility that you know him. But if I see that you ain't keeping his commandments, I know that you don't know him. Because what you doing? You locate yourself. You're letting everybody know where you stand when you don't do his word. When you don't do what his commandments say, when you don't follow it, you expose yourself as somebody that what? Don't know him. And sometimes I see some folks doing some stuff and I'll be like, uh-oh, I just shake my head. They don't know him. She don't know. She know of. He know of. But they don't know him.
Because that's the type of knowing that comes from a relationship. And if you have a relationship with him, it will be exhibited in your lifestyle. If you have a lifestyle of keeping his commandments, then you know him. And so when we look here, it says, fourth verse, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not, oh, he's calling you something. I don't want to say it because, you know, I don't want to call you that. Apostle said they're a liar. He just told it like it was. He said, there's no good way to put this. They're a liar. He that saith, I know him, and keep it not. And how many believers do we have that say, yeah, I know him. Hey, I go to 3CLA, Christian Community Center. Hello, hey, yeah. Don't, you know what? Don't tell nobody that. If you're not keeping his commandments. If you're keeping the commandments, tell everybody you want to know. Tell them. Go to the highest mountaintop. But if you ain't keeping his commandments, keep your mouth shut. We say that at the same time. Right? There's so many people that are saying, I know him. How many people do you hear on a daily basis? I'm a Christian too. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Oh, yes. She said, Facebook is full of them. It's like, I hate to see that too. Don't you see that? They post something like, oh, God is good. Yeah, glory to God. I'm a believer. Yes. And then Tuesday, they turn it up. They're doing the nay-nay. And as the pastor used to say, they're doing the boogaloo. What is the boogaloo? Okay, let me share that exchange. I asked the apostle, I said, what is the boogaloo? He said, it's the same thing as the nay-nay. They just changed it up. Just updated it. They just changed the name a little bit. Add a little arm movements to it. Right? But there's going to be a lot of people doing that stuff and saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but their lives don't reflect it. And if their lives don't reflect it, and I have to propose this to the church. I submit this to the church. If their lives aren't showing it, then they're liars. You're a pretender, you're a liar, you're a faker, you're a hypocrite. Hypocrite comes from the word, Greek word, hypoklates, which hypoklates was the a mask wearer. Those were the actors that were in that would do all of the acting, and they would put on masks because they that was the way that you could show that they were pretending to be a character. And so that was what the name of it was, hypoklates. It wasn't meant to be a negative term until Yeshua used it. It was a good term. It was like, oh, you hypocrites. Oh, can I have your autograph? But then he was telling those believers, you are hypocrites. You're mask wearers. You say one thing, but you're doing something else. He used it first like that. And so he says, he saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. He's a liar. And not only that, the truth. It's not in him. These are some definitive statements, right? And so when we go to the next verse, it says what? But whoso keepeth his word. Whoso means this, but the one who. But the one who keeps his word, right? What's the next part? In him verily is the love of Yahweh perfected. You see the love. You see the maturity. You see the growth. Get this. Get this. You see the obedience. Oh, get this. You see the humility. When you serve God, when you serve Yahweh, you have to humble yourself. We got so many heady Christians. I do what I want to do. I do it. No, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I think it should be done. They ain't talking about their own affairs. They're talking about their salvation. How you going to do your salvation like you think it needs to be done? I'm going to do it my way. What? Wait. Hold up. There is not your way. When you're talking about salvation, there is only one way, and that is through Yeshua. It's what he wants. It's what he desires. And your attitude should be, whatever you say, Father, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And that's how I feel in my own life, because I'm just a regular dude, just regular. I just had a regular upbringing. It ain't nothing special. I'm kind of reminded about John the Baptist, Johannes the Baptist, how, you know, when they asked him, what you doing? He said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm just a voice. That's all I am. Because I love him. And because I love him, I love you. And because I love you, I'll do anything that he needs me to do that you get the truth and you make it in the way you're supposed to make it in and you get everything that you need. I'm just a, that's me. And so when we look here, I got to take you one more. I'm running out of my time here. Let's go here to, oh, the sixth verse. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even, let me interpret that for you. Anybody that claims to know Yahweh in a deepness, if you claim to know him, you ought to live the same life Yeshua did. Hey, that's the knowledge. If you are claiming that you are walking in the knowledge and you walking in the deepness, you got to walk in the same knowledge that Yeshua did. You need to live the same life of uprightness, and holiness, and righteousness that he did. You walking even as he walked. You got to walk in that love. Right? Sometimes we go through stuff. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, I got to respond when somebody says something to me. I just got to, you know, I got to give it back. This is a believer. Well, I think of, and I said, well, what about Yeshua? They spit on him, they kicked him, they called him everything. And he never said not one word. He's focused. He knew what he had to do. He knew that it was covered. He knew that he already had the victory. That's the way you need to walk. You ain't got to get in your flesh. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in him. And if you walk in him, automatic victory. Who wants automatic victory? Automatic victory. Tell yourself, in him, I have automatic victory. And see, the automatic victory is the kind of victory that you get, that you are winning battles that you don't even have to fight. You got favor that you ain't even got to ask for when you in him. So we got to get back on the right track. I love the song Fozzy always used to sing. She says, I'm on the right road now. I heard him. I wish I knew the rest, but you got to get on the right road. Tell yourself, I'm on the right road. In the name of Yeshua, I am on the right road. Hey, and guess what? Any road that he's walking and you're following is the right road. Do I got anybody that's on the right road? Who's on the right road? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we just thank you and praise you, Father, for your knowledge, Father, for your truth, Father Yahweh. Our desire is to own every truth that you have revealed unto us. We know that you revealed your truth to us for a purpose. And our responsibility is to walk in it. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to each and every one of us the importance of walking in the truth, the importance of walking, Father, in your pathway, Father, letting you lead us, Father Yahweh. And we want the dust of the rabbi to get all over us, saturate us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Move in us, move through us, move to us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Lead us, guide us, direct us in your right way. We'll forever give you all the honor, forever give you all the praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you be seated for just a moment, bow your heads. Please bow your heads. I would be remiss if I did not give an opportunity to open the door to this relationship, to open the door to this genosko, to open the door to this exchange, this relationship that some of you may be desiring. We're talking about something real. We're talking about a real relationship with the Savior, with the Father. So right now, everybody has their head bowed. If you want to initiate, you he's ministering to you, and you say, hey, you know, I want the relationship. I want the genosko. I want the knowing. I want it. If you say that you want that, I can pray for you today. And all you need to do is just raise your hand. Raise your hand for that right now. Just one. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. Hallelujah. The second might be the person that says, you know what? I had a relationship, but I kind of fell off. I need to be restored. I want restoration. He is the God that restores. He is the God that renews. If you say, I want restoration today, I know he's calling me. I was on the right road and I got distracted and I drifted off, but I want to get back. I want a rededication. Raise your hand for that. We'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll pray for you. Amen. That's what he does. He's a renewer. He's a restorer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, everybody keep your head bowed. If you raised your hand for any of those reasons, come and receive it. Come where I am. We'll pray. Nobody's looking. Don't worry about that. Get what you need. Get what you came for. Get what the Father has for you today, right now.